As the school and uni year winds down, many teenagers are about to start the next chapter of their lives. And as they look at next steps and potential careers, a common way into the workforce is through an internship, many of which are unpaid. Could be a bit of summer work experience or a mandatory placement for a university degree. Either way, unpaid work can often feel like the only way for young people to get a foot in the door. So when did working for free become the norm, and what supports are available? When does an internship stop being experience and start looking like exploitation? You're about to hear from a student advocate who is actually currently on work placement and an employment law researcher, but I'd also love to hear from you. What's your experience? Have you had to do unpaid work? Was it worth it? Well, Andrew Stewart is a professor of work and regulation at the Queensland University of Technology and joins me now. Andrew, welcome to Life Matters.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
What are we talking about when we're talking about internships? It's kind of a broad term.
They do come in all different shapes and sizes, and there's not even a lot of agreement on the terminology. So sometimes they're called internships, placements, practica, work experience. But they can range from something as short as a few days, like you might do work experience in high school, where you're going to spend a little bit of time in a workplace, not necessarily doing any work as such, but just simply observing what people do. And then the other end of the spectrum, you can have arrangements which run over 1 or 2 years where you're doing what can be paid, but also sometimes unpaid work that, you know, it can often be indistinguishable from employment. So we've got a big range there. And there's also a massive range in terms of quality, because sometimes in the very best internships or placements, what you're getting is a highly structured program of training that's giving you new skills, or it's allowing you to practice existing ones. And then the other end of the spectrum, the internship, you could just be making coffee, taking your boss's dry cleaning, doing all kinds of menial tasks, in the hope that just by being around a workplace, you're somehow going to get the contacts and, you know, the line you can put on your CV that'll make all the difference to getting a job. And then, of course, there's the really big difference. You might be paid exactly the same as an employee for doing that kind of work. That's true in a lot of commercial law firms, for example. Mm-hmm. You might be paid considerably less than what an employee would get. But there are also a ton of completely unpaid internships. And that's a particular concern if you're coming from a background where it's not easy to be able to work for free and, you know, still be able to survive.
What are the industries where you're seeing this the most, especially the unpaid work?
Well, there are some where it's just built into the system of professional training. So if you want to be a teacher, a nurse, a doctor, a lawyer, you have to go through some period of experience, work experience. So the original interns, for example, are from the medical profession. But in that case, those doctors are typically being paid. But for a lot of university students these days, or TAFE students, to be able to complete your degree, you have to take on what may be an unpaid placement over quite a considerable period of time. And then outside that, outside of like the formal training, we've seen what are sometimes called open market internships become really, really popular with firms who are using them to trial workers, sometimes, frankly, just to get free labour. Mm. But we see this particularly in industries where there's an oversupply of graduates for a small number of jobs. So journalism, for example. Yeah, I mean, I've been researching this area for a number of years. There's not too many, you know, people I've spoken to in the media over that time who haven't had their own experiences of doing some form of internship. But we also see it, you know, in accountancy, engineering, IT, marketing, event management, tourism, any area where a lot of graduates all competing for a small number of jobs.
Well, also with me is James Sheriff, who is a third-year teaching student, currently on placement, and also co-founder of Students Against Placement Poverty. James, if you don't mind me asking, you're on placement. Are you getting paid for it?
I am actually at the moment, yeah, which is very fortunate. I'm very glad to be on placement and also able to afford rent.
Yeah, it feels like when you say it like that, you're like, yeah, that really should be the bare minimum, but it's not a given in lots of industries.
No, and that's why we started the Students Against Placement Poverty campaign. I mean, you know, when it started, it was a couple of us, I guess, ranting about how frustrating it is to have to see this practical or placement burden, I guess, this learning opportunity, to see it as a burden. Most of us are very excited to go on BRAC and very excited to go on placement because it's a really amazing learning opportunity, and you get to really see the industry firsthand and up close and learn a huge amount more than you do necessarily in a university classroom. But, you know, when it's can be up to 6, 7, 8 weeks unpaid, it's a huge stumbling block for a lot of students. So the campaign really started as a way to kind of address that issue of people actually just falling short at the halfway point or the three-quarter mark of their degree and having to drop out. So, you know, that's where the placement poverty comes into it. You know, we didn't want people to actually be falling into rental stress, to homelessness, and having to drop out of their degrees and make those sort of really difficult choices.
So this payment for people on PRAC is a relatively new thing thanks to your advocacy. What did it look like a couple of years ago?
Yeah, well, a couple of years ago, I mean, when we started the campaign, we were getting stories from people who were living in their cars during placement. You know, I'm sure you know, like a lot of people who move into degrees like teaching or social work or nursing and allied health, you know, a lot of people might be starting that, you know, straight out of school and going into it, living at home. But a lot of people are career changers. They've got, you know, rent, they've got responsibilities, they had, you know, single parents. So, you know, a few years ago or even just up until the middle of this year, people were having to make really difficult choices. And at this point now, we can at least have access in teaching, social work and nursing to a $300-ish dollar a week payment if you meet the eligibility criteria, which can help you, you know, just stay afloat. But when we started the campaign, I mean, we were tossing around these ideas. It took a while for us to think that it would really work. And now that it has gotten over the line and we've actually been able to make change, I think a lot of people still want it to see it expanded, to see it pushed into other industries and to cover, you know, cohorts like international students, who a huge number of them are studying in these degrees.
Yeah, the criteria is still relatively narrow. You are listening to Life Matters on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor, talking to James Sheriff, who's a third-year teaching student and co-founder of Students Against Placement Poverty, and Andrew Stewart, who's a professor of work and regulation at QUT, talking about unpaid internships or low-paid internships and work experience, and just the push and pull of how valuable they can be for people who are trying to enter an industry, and how exploitative they can be depending on the circumstances. I'd love to know whether you've had to do unpaid work and whether you reckon it was worth it. Simon has texted saying, "I'm a small employer and have always done paid trials. It's a costly policy, but I think it's important to value your potential staff's time, and it gets our employer-employee relationship off to a respectful start. But many places take advantage of young employees and it gives us all a bad name." Another says, "Friend worked full-time while doing degree but cannot finalise it till he can afford to do 3 months within a time limit unpaid internship. His wife works full-time, 2 kids, a mortgage and hex debt. No wonder young adults do not leave home." Yeah, in reference to what we were talking about just before. Well, Andrew, is there any sign that this is going to change? We heard James talking about the placement poverty, but it really only covers students from a specific number of degrees.
Yeah, so there's, again, we can probably look at this in two different ways. One is what's going on within the education sector and then what's going on outside. Within the education sector, we still have this situation where it's perfectly lawful to have an unpaid placement for an unlimited period of time. So That really shouldn't be the case. What we've seen in other countries is the introduction of time limits, the introduction of a rule that if you have a placement that runs over a certain period of time, it has to be paid rather than being unpaid. So although the new Pratt placement that the Albanese government's introduced is certainly a help to the students who are eligible for it, as you've heard, there's a lot of students who aren't eligible, and there really ought to be more limitations, as well as quality requirements, greater quality requirements, if universities or TAFE institutions or other educational training providers are going to insist on a period of work experience. Outside that, then we're in the outside the education training system, then we're in the area where there's a lot of uncertainty about what's legal and what isn't. The Fair Work Ombudsman has done a lot over the last decade to try and crack down on businesses who are really misusing and exploiting the willingness of people to work for free. There's still, a lot of sign that there are a lot of exploitative arrangements out there. And again, it would be better if we had greater clarity in the law about when an internship has to be paid and when it doesn't, and greater levels of enforcement to try and crack down, on the worst examples of these arrangements.
Andrew, briefly, what should people do if they think they're being exploited?
Well, you can get in touch with the Fair Work Ombudsman, so fairwork.gov.au. There have been a number of instances over the years where the Ombudsman has intervened on behalf of people who are in internships where they felt they weren't being properly treated. And, we've seen the Ombudsman be able to get pay for them. So that's certainly an option. If you're a union member, obviously you turn to your trade union, but for a lot of young people today, they're not members of unions at all, and they're particularly unlikely to be members if they're doing work unpaid. So, the Fair Work Ombudsman is the best option. There's a section on their website which talks about unpaid work, which will give you an idea about what should be okay and what shouldn't from a legal point of view. But look, the main point I'd say, I think to anyone who's thinking about doing an unpaid internship, but particularly if you're not being required to by the degree you're taking, the evidence suggests that doing an unpaid internship doesn't actually make any difference on average to being able to get a job. Paid internships, on the other hand, where those are available, and they are still available in parts of the labour market, the evidence suggests that they really do improve the average job seeker's chance of finding paid employment. So the employer that's doing the right thing and prepared to pay you while they're training you, while they're giving an opportunity to you, while they're having a look at you to see whether they want to employ you, those are the better kinds of arrangements to look out for.
Andrew,
unfortunately,
James,
they don't grow on trees.
Oh yeah, that's the truth. We do have to leave it there. Thank you so much, Andrew Stewart, Professor of Work and Regulation at Queensland University of Technology, and James Sheriff, third year teaching student, currently on placement, co-founder of Students Against Placement Poverty.
Listen to more great stories that take you beyond the headlines. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.